His voice. So just what we talked about last week is just what is the importance of, well, I mean, why do we want to do this? First of all, what's our motivation? And the fact that God, again, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Okay, so he knew you. Your relationship with God will last, has been from and will last for eternity, right? And so people, like you came in and you play all different roles while you're in this life. You were a child, you were a sibling, you were then you became a friend, then you were an employee and a parent, a student, and all these different roles you've played. But those roles will pass away. But your relationship with God will last forever. And he's the one who designed you, created you, wired you, knows what he created you for, knows what your giftings and callings are and all of that. And so he would be someone really important to get to know. And you were so valuable, like him, you knowing him was so important to him that he was willing to come and die for that relationship. That's somebody I want to get to know. And so so it's just coming to that place. Remember, we talked about the fact that that the religious, Jesus confronted the Jews because the religious Jews, because they knew the word, they knew the scriptures. However, they didn't know the author, right? The Bible's the only book that when you read it, the author is always present. Okay. And so they didn't know the author. They read the words, they memorized the words, but Jesus said that they didn't have the word abiding in them. In other words, they didn't have a relationship with the word. They didn't see that the whole word was pointing to a person, Jesus Christ, who was standing there, and they completely missed him. So what I just say that to say that it's not just about being able to quote Bible verses or read the word. You have to know the word. You have to know Jesus Christ. You have to know the author of it. And we can do that now because God lives in us. And then we talked about, you know, setting aside a time and a place for the relationship with the Lord, and also removing distractions. And the last thing point I made was that I think the beautiful thing that I found in coming to know and hear the Lord's voice is I finally can come to a place where I can hear mine. Your true voice, the voice, the who you really are, who the person, who you are that just adores Jesus, loves worshiping him all the time, can't wait, is always in his presence, is always glorifying him, is bold as a lion, right, is gentle as a lamb. That's the reality of who you are now that you're reborn in him. And so, and that voice, those are the times when you're praying and all of a sudden you say a prayer and you think to yourself, did I just say that out loud? Those really dangerous prayers, like the ones that like to say, God, I'll go anywhere, and you're like, oh my gosh, did I just really say that out loud, you know? But that's the real you talking, right? But if we are so caught up in distractions and what's going on, and also who people have told us we are, all the ways the world has tried to define us, if we don't take time aside to get to know the author of our life, because he gives us to a place that we can hear our own voice. Right, his voice is the most important, but in hearing his voice, we'll also be able to hear ours. And that, I would hate for any of us to go through our life and never have come to know who we really are in him. Amen. That would be a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. So today I'm going to talk more about just the more practicals of, okay, so we've decided this is what we want to do. We've set the time aside. We've set a place aside if we can. I mean, not everybody can, but we set a place aside where we can work for us. And now we're going to come to the place where we're going to be with the Lord. What does that look like? What do we do during that time? So for me, and remember when I talk about this, that we're talking about someone who's inside of you. So I mean, I know we exalt him and we do this, but the truth is, yes, we're exalting him in heaven, in this place, but when you're praying, like, he's in here. You're getting to know someone who you carry with you all the time. He's here. So it'd be another good reason to get to know him, right? He's in here. So one of the things that you can do, and these are just different suggestions, you're going to need to find your own way. And I know some of you already have something set up with the Lord that you do with the Lord, but hopefully this will give you maybe more ideas or whatever. But one of the things I do when I first sit down to be with the Lord is I usually when I wake up, I'll have some type of worship song playing through my head. And if you have worship playing a lot, that'll happen. So if I wake up and I've got a worship song playing, when I go to sit with him, I'll play that worship song because I always feel like it's the Holy Spirit saying, go here. right? So I'll do that. But if you don't have that happening, if you have a favorite worship song, I would suggest going there. Because what's the purpose? Right now, I'm setting this time aside with the Lord, and I want to bring my attention and my focus on Him. So the first thing I do for me is I just spend some time worshiping. I'll go in my room, put my earbuds in so I don't wake up my husband, and I'll just sit there and I'll just start worshiping Him. And you know, if you're gonna spend like 30 minutes with the Lord, so maybe you do that for 5 or 10 minutes. But the purpose is to just get your heart set on Him. And so if there's a worship song that you really love, that would be a great thing to do. Some other things you could do is if you have a devotional that you really like, to sit and first start with a devotional. I think devotionals are great, but you can't let them replace reading the Word of God. They're not a replacement. Some people will say, well, I do a devotional every day. That's a great place to start, but God wants you in the Word. He wants you in the Word, and He wants to speak to you directly through, not that He can't speak through devotionals, but I'm just saying that's a nice place to start, but He wants you to grow into a relationship with Him through the Word. And then another thing, too, if you have your prayer language, is to pray in the Spirit. Again, what's the purpose? The purpose is I'm here. And I would say, you know, in the context of all of this, it's talking to Him. It's talking to Him. You know, I was listening to something by Sean Boltz, and he said, "Good morning, God, here I am. Is there anything you want me to see throughout my day that would help me to relate to you, serve you better, and connect to your heart more?" So it's just coming, realizing when you come in, like, He's there. I mean, He's here, He's there. And I think the one thing that Lord spoke to me early on in my walk with Him is when I walked into my room, He said to me, "I want you to come in here with no other agenda but me." In other words, we can get so caught up in, when I get with God, I do this, 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 and this, and He's not, and even though He's there, you're not acknowledging Him, right? So it's coming into this place, recognizing you're coming in with a relationship, and you want to converse with Him. So you can start out, "Good morning, God. I just want to worship you. Good morning, God. I'm just setting this time aside. I love having time with you. I'm tuning my ears into you. You're magnificent, Lord. What would you like to say to me today? Lord, what is it you'd like me to focus on today?" And even in that, it's important. Let's just go to the fact that He wants you to read the Word. That much I know. He wants you to read the Word. Okay? Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Remember, we live in a fallen world, and the truth about everything is in here. This is the most important book you could ever know in all of your life. It explains how we got here. It explains who you were created to be. It explains who God is. It explains why God came to save you. It explains what salvation is. Explains, you know, how this thing is going to wrap up. This is the most important book for you to know. And from this place, what it says here, right? "Give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes." This is, we need to keep this in front of us, right? We need to keep it in us and then keep it in the midst of your heart. Why? Because it's life and health. I have watched over and over and over again, and such a privilege, Pastor Rainey and I have seen this happen so many times. Well, people will start coming to the church and their lives have all these places that aren't lined up. I mean, all of us do, right? When we come. And we just watch God as you preach the Word and you teach people the Word and they look at the Word, all of a sudden the things in their life that aren't lined up just start falling into place. Marriages start healing, jobs change, careers change, destinies change. You know, I mean, you just watch it happen. You just watch, and it's what truth does. And so every one of us has little areas that we're not seeing victory in yet, but I promise it's in here. And as we just keep exposing ourselves to, it just changes things. It's like, Andrew says, effortless change. It just changes things. And so life and health are in this Word. So it's important that we read it, right? That we've been, and we have a relationship with it. So one thing I did is every year our church, in the beginning of the year, we or at the end of the year, we put out, starting in January, a Bible reading plan. And it takes you through the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, chronologically. Chronologically is important because if you're going through the Bible just reading it, you know, you'll read 1st and 2nd Kings, and you read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which has, they both have the same stories with different details. And so you're reading in Chronicles what you already read in Kings, and you get confused, right? And then you have a prophet that you leave, you know, read a month later that's talking about something that happened in Chronicles. So anyway, so the chronological Bible reading program is really good because it takes you through, you know, like the account in Kings, and then the account in Chronicles, the same account, and then the prophets that were during that time. It brings them all in. And it does the same thing in the New Testament. So we start that off in January. Obviously, this is September. So what I did is I printed out a New Testament Bible reading program. It's not chronological. But if someone doesn't have a Bible reading program, these are going to be on the table because Giselle's going to remember to put them out there. So put them out on the Bible on the welcome table. You could pick this up if you wanted to. If you don't have something and you'd like something, that's good. But I want to say that he's Lord, not your Bible reading program. He's Lord. And so this is what I mean. When I came to the Lord and he said to me, I want you to come in here with no other agenda but me. It's important, again, we're building a relationship with him. And it's great to have a devotional. It's great to have a Bible reading program. But what you're doing is building a relationship. And he may tell you to go to a different place or look at a different verse or go to a different chapter. And what are you trying to do? You're trying to learn to hear his voice. So he'll take you different places, and this is the beauty of the journey, because where he's going to take you is dependent on what you need, not what I need or what somebody else needs or what the Bible reading program does. So it's a great place to start, but don't make it so rigid that you can't follow his voice. Just like Moses when he was out following the sheep, right? He saw the burning bush out of the corner of his eye, but it wasn't until he stopped and looked that God spoke to him. It's the same thing when you're going through scriptures. God will give you a burning bush. All of a sudden, you'll see something that you've seen 100 times before, but there's just something different about it. And what he's telling you is, hey, pay attention here. I want to show you something. I want to teach you something. That's the vibrancy of your relationship with the Lord. And so it's just being able to, again, be completely flexible. Remember, you're meeting with somebody. You're reading a book to find out about somebody. And so you need to let him guide you and lead you. Some people have, you know, when they first come to the Lord, they're like, well, I just really love the book of Psalms. Then read the book of Psalms. Maybe that's where he wants you to start. Proverbs is great. Proverbs 1, there's 31 Proverbs, figure that out, right? So one for each day. So the first of each month, you read Proverbs 1, second of each month, you read Proverbs 2, and you can go through the whole thing that way. So it's whatever you feel led to do, like follow, allow yourself to be led by him. I would also encourage you to read out loud. Because when you read out loud, you're hearing God. God wrote this. It's just like the declarations we do, right? The prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 are so powerful. Take those, personalize those, and declare them. I have certain declarations I do every day or almost every day. And so write those out. Or type them out, whatever, but read those over yourself. Personalize them, just like we do here with Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Personalize them. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even though everything in you is screaming, it's not true, that's what the Word of God says, and it is the truth about who I am. Amen? So it's important for you to speak the Word out loud because the voice that has the most influence over your brain is your voice. What you say about yourself has the greatest impact because your brain is wired to hear your voice. And what you say has the most profound impact. So you declaring scriptures, reading scriptures out loud is really important because you're speaking to your heart, and that's where you'll begin to see transformation. Amen? Amen. So it's making it a very living relationship with him, allowing him to talk to you and asking him questions. Even as you go through scriptures, you can ask him. And this is one of the things I do before I'm teaching, I'm studying, and I'm asking, Lord, why did you put this scripture in here? What was it that you were trying to convey? And I wouldn't race through either. Just read a scripture and pause for a moment. Read the next scripture. Pause for a moment. Read the next scripture. Pause for a moment. Give him an opportunity to speak to you. Give him an opportunity to breathe on that. See, as you read the scripture, see what comes up in your heart, right? Because it's I'm not doing this to check it off the list. I'm not getting through these 30 minutes because I'm going to be a good Christian, right? No. I'm coming to this place to get to know the one who authored my life, and I want to have a relationship with him, and I know he wants to teach me through this word. I know he wants to speak to me through this word. I'm confident. He says, if I seek, I will find, right? If I knock, it'll be open to me. He's promised me that. So I'm going to invest my time in this and allow him to speak to me through these scriptures. Okay, so take your time. Let me see here. One of the things, I want to go down to more specifics as far as studying. Okay, so if you're going through the scriptures and you're reading different things, and maybe you have a passage that you're not understanding really well. So this is where it's good to have multiple translations. Now you can have an app on your phone or on your computer, and you can look at a certain passage. Say there's a certain passage that's highlighted to you, and you're not quite sure what the Lord's conveying from that. So you'll go ahead and you can get different Bible versions and go ahead and read those. That's really helpful. One of the things I did when I was first went to Bible college, which was Andrew Womack School, and he loves King James Version. So I thought it was important to have a King James Version Bible. And I have a hard time with King James. So what I did was I got a parallel Bible. So one of the things you can do is there are parallel Bibles out there. What does that mean? So, for example, this is a parallel Bible with King James and Amplified. So what it means is the King James verses are here, and those same exact verses in the Amplified, you can see it goes farther, right? The Amplified version are over here. Then here's King James, and there's Amplified. You can find parallel Bibles with all different kinds of versions in them. So this is something that I used in the beginning. Then when I was out at Bible college, a lot of people had the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, which is what I use now. So the Spirit-Filled Life Bible is talking about the commentary. So the commentary in this Bible is all based on being a Spirit-Filled believer. So it's all. So the Old Testament, New Testament is all based on being Spirit-filled. They believe in the miracles. They believe in the giftings. They believe in the offices. They believe in praying in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe in all of that. So all the commentary and cross references are in here. They are based on that. Also, before each chapter, it gives you a history of who wrote it, when they wrote it, why, what was going on at the time. So it's very helpful from a historical standpoint to give you context. Randy actually bought not this Bible, this same Bible I had. I had it. He bought the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, King James Version, for me for Christmas when I was out there. It fell apart. But Bibles who are falling apart are owned by people who aren't. I read that on Facebook once. I thought that was really good. Anyway, so actually the students at Caris bought this for me. So it's a Spirit-Filled Life, and it's New King James. Okay, it's New King James. Now here's the importance. I had been struggling with King James, and then I would read the Amplified, and there was way too many words. And I would just get really confused. And when I got the New King James Version, it was like, oh, I can read the Bible. It was just like, it just opened up to me. So I say that to say, if you're struggling with a version of the Bible, take the time to look at other versions. Like Randy and Amy love the New Living Translation. That's the Bible that they love. So it's important to find a Bible that actually you feel good about, that you feel like it's communicating to you. Invest the time in finding that out. If you're struggling, especially King James, my brain hurts when I try to read King James. I mean, it just makes my brain hurt. Some people love it, but I just can't. Anyway, so really take the time. And then what happens is if you have this particular chapter or verse or whatever that you're looking at, if you look in different versions, it can help you understand it better. Okay, because different versions bring out different things. Now, I also love the Passion Translation, but I use this for personal use because the Passion Translation, I think, is more accurately a commentary. I believe he translates the heart, but not necessarily the words. So I don't use this to teach from, but I do use it like in my personal time with the Lord. I really love what he conveys in here. So I just call this more of a commentary, but it's still great if you feel led to that as well. So say you're going through the Bible and you read some different passages, but then you get to a word that you don't understand. And again, the Bible, our language is so limited. And for example, the word know, K-N-O-W, is 12 different Greek words are translated K-N-O-W. So that means there's that, and all those 12 have different nuances to them. So to me, like when I'm studying the word, what I do is I'll type out a verse, and then I'll look up every single word in that in the concordance. And I'll put the definition in there, and then I'm so glad when they use the word again in another verse because I can just do copy-paste. But this is a concordance. And this, again, concordances that are falling apart are owned by people who aren't. But so this is what I use to study. So I can look up, and there's tools online you can do for this, but you can look up a word, Greek or Hebrew, in here, and it'll tell you where it is in the back, and then you look it up, and it'll give you the full definition of it in Greek or Hebrew. And so that really helps to open up what that word means. And so the Lord, I mean, I know you don't want to go through every single word, I mean, but the Lord may tell you in the time you're studying, I want you to look up this word. So it's good to have a resource to be able to look that up because there's something he's trying to convey to you. Now, a really good example of this is in John 21. I want to look at this. John 21, 15 through 17. We studied this when we went through John. It says, this is Jesus after he was resurrected, right? The disciples went back to fishing. They're out on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is on the shore. He's making them breakfast. They come out, and after breakfast, he's talking to Peter. He says, 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Okay? Now, let's look at this in the Amplified Classic. So the Amplified Classic takes certain words and actually inserts kind of the definition of the word into the scripture. So it says, when they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these, more than others do, with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father?" Okay, so what he's talking about is agape love. So Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But Peter said, his love is that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend. So Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said to him the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Again, agape love, with a reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves a father. Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." He said to him, "Shepherd or tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And then this time Jesus says, "with a deep, instinctive, personal affection for me as for a close friend." Peter was grieved, was saddened and hurt that he should ask him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So there's good information in there. Again, in the English, we didn't have a word for phileo versus agape versus all these different kinds of love. And so it just all got translated love. But it opens up the scripture to you more to understand the different nuances of the word that was used when Jesus and Peter were talking, right? It helps you to understand more of what was being said. Now remember in this, Jesus, even though Jesus was saying, "Do you love me here?" and Peter kept saying, "I love you down here," Jesus didn't change Peter's assignment, right? Peter didn't say, "Well, since you don't agape love me, Peter, peace out," right? He still called him, still tend my sheep, still watch over them, still feed my lambs, do all those things. And we know what happened, though. Peter did love him at first with a phileo love, but by the end, he was crucified upside down for Jesus. So he grew into an agape love. To me, that's such a beautiful picture of how Jesus accepts us right where we're at, right? But as we get to know him more, he grows us into all that he has for us. Amen? So Jesus didn't ignore him or disqualify him because he wasn't at the level Jesus was calling him to. So I think it's important, too, that you look at different meanings of the word. If the Lord leads you to do that, you don't have to do that every time, but he may lead you to that. The other thing is just to be sensitive to what God will have you do, because he may have you stay in a particular book of the Bible for a while. He may have you stay in a particular chapter. I was talking to Giselle this morning. I was in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 for 18 months. You know, and it wasn't that I didn't read other parts of the Bible. It wasn't that I didn't read other books, but that's where I was. Now, did I hear God say, Melissa, I want you to read Romans 6, 1 through 14? No, but it's just every time I sat down with my Bible, I just wanted to read those verses. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit leading. That's your Spirit leading. So it's not, that's part of hearing him. Right? I'm not hearing an audible voice, but this is where I feel drawn to, and I'm going to trust. I know the devil isn't telling me to read the Bible, right? So if I'm feeling drawn to a particular area or a particular study or a particular topic, that's the Holy Ghost, and I can trust that. And even if I'm going a little bit off, if I keep doing that, he will lead me to where I'm going to be, he wants me to be. He will. So even like, I remember when we first came to the Lord at night, before I would go to bed, I would read half a chapter of John. The next night, I'd read the second half of John. The third night, I'd read the first half of Hebrews. The second night, I'd read the second half of Hebrews. Then I'd read the first half of John, second half of John, first of Hebrews. So, why? I didn't hear a voice. It's just when I went to bed, that's what I wanted to do. So again, it's just realizing God is in you. He's drawing you. Where do you feel drawn? Trust that. Trust that process. And then when you sit with that, let him, you know, ask him, well, why, Lord, are you bringing me here? What do you want me to see in this? How can this help me in my relationship with you? How can this help me in my relationship with other people? Why are you bringing me here, Lord? Speak to me through this. And he will, I promise. And even if you don't hear something then, he'll bring it to you later. He's when you're washing the sink, when you're doing the dishes, he talks to Randy at the sink. And they're doing when he's doing the dishes. Were you taking a shower? I mean, all these things, right? I have a Bible on the back of in our bathroom. I have a Bible. I read that. Read it. I read it all the time. Read it all the time. Okay, so now you're following the Lord. You're having him lead you. You're having him guide you. He's bringing you to different scriptures, right? Maybe he has you in Galatians for 6 months. Again, your Bible reading program is great, but if he's saying be in Galatians, be in Galatians, wherever he leads you to be. But let's talk about meditating on God's word. So John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law, which is talking about the scripture, okay, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments, it's referring to scripture. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now this word meditate, of course, you know, people think that's New Age. It's not New Age. We had meditation first. Okay. Meditation in New Age is like empty your mind. Meditation in the kingdom of God is focusing your mind on him, meditating on scriptures, right? In pondering scriptures. It also means to mutter. So you can just, it's muttering it under your breath. And so what does it say here? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. In other words, you should be muttering this, right? Pondering this. And the word meditate also means to imagine this. Okay, and what is that going to do? That's going to help you to observe how to do it. How do I observe to do the law? How do I observe to do what's in the scriptures? Do I, you know, white knuckle it? No. If you meditate on it, if you imagine it, if you ponder it, if you mutter it, that will automatically cause you to start walking in the ways of the scripture. It's not an effort. The effort is put into exposing yourself to scripture and pondering it, and that will transform you. Okay, and it'll help you, it'll make you way prosperous, and you will have good success. How many want to be prosperous and have good success, right? This right here. Thank you, Lord. So let's just take a look at this meditating. So in John 7:38, let's look at John 7:38. Jesus says, he who believes in me, As the scripture has said, out of his heart or belly, some scriptures say belly, will flow rivers of living water. Now, this word belly or heart means the innermost part of man, right? Your innermost being. So this is one scripture. The Lord could have you meditate on this scripture for a year. Just think about this. So Jesus, let's look at this. He who believes in me, well, who believes in Jesus? Here. Okay, the rest of you need to come up front at the end. Believe in Jesus. Half of our church isn't saved, dear. As the scriptures has said, what does that mean? That means the Old Testament scriptures testified to what he's about to say. Okay? So if you have a good Bible, it'll have cross references that'll show you what scriptures Jesus is referring to. So Jesus says, if you believe in me, as the Old Testament scriptures have testified, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, you can take that scripture and just start, okay, God gives you that scripture for the day. You can just take that scripture and you could look up the Old Testament scriptures. You could maybe look up, what does believe mean, Lord? Let me just take a minute. What does believe? It means to put my full reliance and trust in you, Lord. So just take the scripture and just begin to meditate on the different parts of it, right? Out of his innermost being. And then you can start to imagine it. Now, in the Bible, Jesus tells the people that if you even lust for a woman in your heart, it's the same as doing it. So if we reverse that and say, if I imagine rivers of living water coming in me and flowing through me, it means what? It's the same as it happening. It is happening. So this is the power of our imagination. So it's just taking the time with the word. You could take that scripture and meditate on that all day long. So as you're standing in front of, at the store with someone who maybe is difficult, rivers of living water are flowing from heaven into me through my body and out of every pore of my being. Rivers of living water are flowing through me. Lord, I thank you that your presence continues to nurture me and nourish me, and out of my belly, because your presence is in me, it flows through me. You could take that scripture, right, and just start meditating on it for the half hour you're with the Lord. Just meditate on that scripture. Imagine that scripture. And then throughout your day, again, I'm not perfect at this. By the end of the day, I'm like, oh, God, what scripture was I supposed to be meditating on? Anybody do that? Oh, Jesus, all day long, I haven't even thought of you. What in the world? Right? No, so, I mean, we're all like, I'm not saying that we got there perfectly, okay? But this is, when you set your heart towards this, like, the Lord will bring you that. He just is so happy that you're showing up. He's so happy that you set time aside with him. He's so happy you've got the word open. He's so happy that you're meditating on a scripture. He's just delighted. And so you take that scripture and meditate on it all day long. Now, just think about this. If you think about what you think about all day long, and if you were just like 10% of the time to insert rivers of living water coming out of your belly, how different would your day be? How different would people's experience of you be? You know what's going to happen? You're going to walk out of your door, and people are going to be lined up because rivers of living water are flowing through you. Why? Because Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. Amen? And it's not that I have to behave perfectly for that to happen, right? He is my righteousness. Do I want to behave really well? Yes, I do. But it's not based on my performance. It's based on who lives inside of us. And so we meditate on these scriptures. So that's the power of meditation. Okay, the Christian life, if you want to go farther than you want to go, it's not going to happen unless we live intentionally. The Christian life doesn't happen by accident. It just doesn't. It's making a choice every day to come to his presence, meditate on his word, contemplate what he's said to you. I mean, it's essential. It's essential. The other thing too, you can take a scripture and just pray in tongues. Like, just take a scripture the Lord gives you and then spend 20 minutes, whatever, half hour, whatever, just praying in tongues over that scripture and let what the Lord reveal to you from that scripture. Okay, so, and that's what I'm trying to show you is just one scripture can change so much. It's not about the volume of the word you read Although, yes, it's important to read the Bible, but it's not about the volume. It's what you invest in whatever he tells you to invest that brings transformation. And it can be one scripture that can change everything. It can be one Romans 6, 1 through 14, right? It can be anything. Let's look at John 8, 32. This is good. So if you can take scriptures like this, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you could sit with the Lord with that for 30 minutes and be like, Lord, there's areas of my life where I'm not free. What truth am I not believing? What truth? Like, there's this area that I'm bound up in, Lord, or maybe I'm dealing with a physical illness. But you say, Lord, that the truth I know will make me free. So, Lord, what truth am I not understanding? What truth have I not embraced that has kept me bound in this? Remember, the Lord is never about, does he want to change the fruit in your life? He does. But he's not around picking rotten fruit off your tree. He's about getting the root changed. Because if the root's changed, the fruit will change, right? He's a long-term investor. he's not in short gains, right? So he wants to get to the root of things. So he said, you don't know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, you could take that scripture and just start meditating on it. Okay, I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Then you can stress different words in it. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. So you can just go through and kind of, as you're meditating on it, saying it out loud and stressing different words in there and just see what resonates with you, right? What is the Holy Spirit saying for you? So it's just different ways of taking scripture. Again, one scripture can change everything. If God breathed on it, one scripture can change everything. Other times you can just, God can give you an image or an impression while you're sitting with him, or even in going through your day. Sometimes the Lord will just say to you, you know, I just want you to be still and be quiet. Now, those are the hard times. But he may just want you to be still and be quiet. Maybe listen to soaking music, right? And just meditate on him. So again, you have a vibrant relationship with him. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But there's repetition in that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing over and over again the word of God. I was talking to Giselle before church when we were in pre-service prayer. And, you know, I could have explained salvation to you 10, 12 years ago. But man, like, salvation is so much more real to me today. Just because you can explain Christian doctrine doesn't mean it's yours. And this is when people will say to me, well, I already know spirit, soul, and body. I already know God wants you well. I already know. Like, no. I still sit in the spirit, soul, and body class. I do in the mornings. I'm half in that one and half in God wants you well. And I get something out of it every time I'm in there. Every time I'm in there, a truth becomes more real to me. There's never a time that you've arrived. I mean, until we get to heaven, these truths are so important to go over them and over them and over them, because as they become more foundational in you, you learn more and more, and he's building a structure, and you can't grasp this until this is all set in place. Even though you may know this, it doesn't fall into place until the foundation is all there. And so pieces all of a sudden will, oh, that clicks in there, and then this clicks in over here. So exposing ourselves to truth is so important over and over and over again, because it just makes it real. I mean, and this is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's hearing it over and over and over again. Revelation's important too. I think sometimes we can get too myopic in we're looking at the word, and sometimes you have to step back from it. And look at the broader picture of things. You know, I think about those geographic diagrams, like with repeating patterns, where, you know, if you look at them and then you cross your eyes and step back, all of a sudden the 3D picture pops out. You know what I'm talking about? I tried to do that once at church, and half the people couldn't see it, and so I decided not to do any diagrams of it. But anyway, but you know what I'm talking about, right? That's kind of a way, like, you can look at the scripture and just keep asking the Lord, what are you trying to show me? Think of it from a bigger picture. Think about it in terms of Genesis and the fall and what Israel went through and where, you know, things are going. And the Lord can expand it to you and give you a bigger understanding of it. So, Let's just look at a few more things here about meditation. So Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Again, the law of the Lord is scripture. "And in his law, in his scripture, he meditates day and night." We have stuff playing all night long in our home. It plays all night long. And we have worship playing all day. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Again, it doesn't mean the person who white knuckles it. It's the person who doesn't take counsel in the ungodly, right? But they delight in the scripture. They delight in the law of the Lord. And in the law, in the scripture, he meditates day and night. He imagines, he ponders, he mutters to himself. Again, I'm not doing this perfectly. This isn't like all of us are in a journey in this, but this is where we want to go towards, right? Meditating on the scripture. What does it help us do? It helps us be fruitful, be healthy, and be prosperous. Again, the scripture will change your life. It'll change your life. The truth of the scripture. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate," imagine, ponder, mutter on these things. So this is telling us what to meditate on. Now, the Lord used this scripture for me to talk about what we think about ourselves all day long. And he said to me, "Melissa, you're supposed to be meditating on what's true about you. What's true about us based on Christ? We're righteous, we're pure, we're holy, we're set apart, right? So are you meditating on what's true about you? Or are you meditating on what you did wrong yesterday or what you messed up or how you're not measuring up?" That's not what the Lord tells us to meditate on. He tells us to meditate on what's true about us, what he's made true through his word, what he says is noble. We're nobility. We're kings and priests. Are you meditating on that? Or are you meditating, again, on the mess-ups or where you didn't measure up? Are you meditating on what's just about you? He's made you righteous. Are you meditating on what's pure about you? He's made you pure. Are you meditating on what's lovely about you or handsome? Okay, these are the things, like, where is our mind thinking about when it comes to thinking about ourselves? Are we meditating on what Christ has done for us and who we are now because of him? Or are we going based on what the world says and what the enemy's telling us, because he's the accuser of the brethren? So this is important. I was thinking about, you know, Jesus, because if Jesus is telling us to do these things, that means he did these things. God didn't ask us to do something that he didn't do. So that means that Jesus meditated on the scriptures. He pondered them. He muttered them under his breath. He kept them in the midst of his heart. He looked at them all day long, right? This is how he, right? Because he was God, but he came as a man, right? But he was born of the Spirit. And so just think about this. So he's meditating on this. And just like Jesus went through the scriptures and found out who he was and is, so we go through the scriptures and we find out who we are, the truth of who we are. And we're to meditate and ponder that. Now, I know at some point, okay, Jesus used his, I'm sure he uses imagination, right? It says to use your imagination. So I was thinking about this, like that woman who was bent over, Jesus didn't start ministering until he was 30 years old. So he went to the River Jordan, he was baptized, right? And then he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, went to the wilderness, came out in power. But it doesn't mean he didn't go to the synagogue and see people who needed healing, who were bent over, all these things, and knew that he was called to that. At this point, it wasn't like it didn't dawn on him at the River Jordan what he was called to. He knew. So that means that he walked through and he went to these places, seeing lepers, seeing the woman bent over. And I bet that he went to that temple to say, "Listen, what have you done for her?" Right? Because they're like, "How can you heal her on the Sabbath day?" "Well, I've been here for years and you ain't healed her the other 6 days of the week." Right? Right? But he comes into this, and he's known all these years this is what he's called to. And he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. But because he's been meditating on the Word, pondering the Word, imagining the Word, I promise you, when Jesus laid hands on his first leper, it wasn't the first time he had seen healing. He had seen that in his mind over and over and over and over and over again because he read the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit was quickening that to him. He knew that's what he was called to. And so he meditated on that, and it became real to him. So he wasn't shocked when lepers were healed. He wasn't shocked when he saw people's limbs grow out, because he knew it was going to happen because the Scripture told him so, and that's who he was. And he meditated on it. He pondered it. He imagined it, and then it happened. Now, he needed God. He needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all do. But again, he prepared his heart to be able to do those things. Are we preparing our hearts to do those things? If we want, if we say we want to walk in those things, are we meditating on them? Are we imagining them? Are we keeping the Word before us? Are we pondering it? Are we mumbling it, right? Are we meditating on it? Because I promise you, Jesus saw healing in his own mind before he ever saw it happen in the external. I promise you. So the other thing just to do is, this is where transformation happens, is as we meditate on the Scriptures. I encourage you as the Lord highlights Scriptures to you, like I said, I have a list of declarations that I go over most mornings. I just have them in my Bible, and then I just go over and say them. They're Scriptures that I felt like the Lord gave to me, and so I personalize them, and I say them out loud every day, and just sit with them. And as I'm sitting with them, I imagine them, and I just let them, I soak in them, right? Just go over them, and then throughout the day, certain ones that I know he wants me to keep remembering, I'll remember throughout the day. I'll bring it up throughout the day. And again, I'm not perfect at it. There's days where I'm like, wait a second, I'm supposed to be doing this. So it's all a process. So I would just encourage you to pick a verse, right? Pick a verse. I'm not going to be finishing up this teaching till after the retreat, because next week is baptisms. The following week is the women's retreat. The following week is testimonies from the women's retreat. So then I'll be back and I'll finish teaching up on this. So you have a whole month to do this homework. But pick a scripture, or have the Lord give you a scripture, and just meditate on it throughout the day. Just think about that, ponder that, imagine it, sit with the Lord with it, but just take a scripture that you feel that either embodies what it is you want or speaks to you, or is telling you a truth that you want to understand, and just take that scripture and just start meditating on it, imagining it, pondering it, muttering it throughout the day, coming back to it, maybe writing it on a 3x5 card, and just watch, because we'll have like a whole month, right, before you have to turn in your homework assignment. A whole month to just really meditate on and see what God does with that. And I'll close with this. You know, Kenneth Hagin said that by the end of his life, his relationship with God, God's presence was more real to him than his wife sleeping next to him in bed. That's what we're invited into. But again, it's intentional. I think Dan Moeller said, you know, everybody has as much of God as they want, right? It's what do we want? And I promise you, in the times that we are walking through now and what's to come, hearing his voice and knowing his word is the most important thing you can do for yourself and your family. This is crucial. It is so important that we know him, that we know him, that we know his voice, and that we can hear what he's saying to us and follow him. Amen? Amen. So Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and just, Lord, encouraging us in developing our own personal relationship with you. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know your word. And so, Lord, thank you for being inside of us, Lord. We carry you everywhere we go. And thank you, Lord, that we're learning to hear your voice through your word. We're learning to hear your voice. We're learning to follow you. We're learning to develop a relationship with you. And it's a real relationship, Lord. You are so invested in this, Lord. May we be as invested in this as you are, Lord, to bring in all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.